Carson Show, shining a spotlight on the media minions and redistributing the truth. And now, here's your fair share of the truth. Brought to you by your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the show, everyone, where you get your fair share of the truth, because I am the redistributionist, and you're entitled to it. All right, yesterday in Florida, Jeb Bush announced, finally, that he is running for president. It was a solid announcement, with a broad indictment of Mr. Obama's tenure in office, and he subtly tried to drag not just Hillary Clinton into the indictment, but Senators Cruz, Paul, and Rubio as well. He said, "We're not going to clean up the mess in Washington by electing the people who either helped create it or have proven incapable of fixing it." So it's a little dig at Hillary as well as his other rivals. He hit a lot of the notes that evangelicals will like. He went after Hillary Clinton and Obama for their assault on the Little Sisters of the Poor and targeted Obama over his lecturing about the Crusades. Noting how many people are in the race, Bush declared, "It's nobody's turn. It's everybody's test. It's wide open." All righty then. That, though, raises a question for Bush. While indicting Washington and the Obama-Clinton team, he repeatedly made the case that a governor is the type of person we need. He pointed to his record in Florida. Bush, though, last held office in 2007, leaving, along with Mike Huckabee, a governor's mansion that January. He had impressive economic results in Florida, but they were really before the bubble burst. I mean, you know, the economy was, especially in Florida, was doing great because of the housing bubble and the lead up to the bust of the housing bubble. So he left right before, you know, the stuff hit the fan, as it were. Contrast that with Rick Perry, who continued to create jobs during the economic downturn, or Bobby Jindal, who transformed Louisiana economically through the worst of the recession, or more recently, Scott Walker, who led a privatization effort, an anti-union effort that has begun to attract business to that state. Now, I'm not saying that I am necessarily supporting Rick Perry or Bobby Jindal, although I do, you know, and I've said this before, I like Scott Walker. And I think that executive experience is important because, let's face it, senators don't do anything. Congressmen don't do anything. They have people do things for them, and we've already had a senator, a first-term senator that became president, and look how that turned out. Bush is going to have to show why he, and not they, is the best man for the job. He is certainly hindered by his last name. I think that is going to be a bigger burden than he thinks. And that does not even consider that Cruz, Paul, and Rubio, all three of whom have gone to Washington, but have not necessarily become a part of Washington. Look, here's the bottom line here. If you support amnesty, and you support Common Core, then you should vote for a Democrat or Jeb Bush. And that's my take. So now we have 11, probably today, 12, because Donald Trump, the Donald, is expected to announce something today. And I don't know if it's going to be a full announcement of a presidential campaign. I could be wrong. I'm thinking it may be an exploratory campaign. You know, a lot of people don't like Donald Trump. And what's interesting about Donald Trump is he's going to go after the other Republicans in the field, which is actually, I think, I think that he is interesting. And I think that Republicans don't really like Donald Trump. Because remember, he forced the issue of Obama to cough up his birth certificate last time. So Donald Trump is actually brilliant theater. And he doesn't care. That's what's great. And so whether you like him or not, he knows how to play to the press. I don't think Donald Trump really has any chance. But, you know, I think it's interesting theater. It's interesting kabuki theater. And that's what we do here, you know. It's what we do. So what do you think, Steve, the chances are for Jeb?
Remote to none?
I think so too. I don't think he's got a shot, frankly. I mean, you know, they say he's got so much money and this. I don't think they're gonna embrace him. And you know what's interesting to me is how, like, you know, Democrats like him. And so to me, that shows.
I think he's got two things going for him. One is regardless, name recognition, just like Hillary does. And number two, he does have a big war chest that he can, you know, buy the election, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I don't think it's going to really matter. So he came out with this new logo. Did you see the logo? It's Jeb!
Exclamation point.
Jeb! Exclamation point. By the way, it's the exact same logo he had when he ran for governor in 1996.
Hey, if it's not broke.
It's the same. And also, it is the same logo that Lamar Alexander used, by the way. So I guess if you add an exclamation point, that makes it, you know, exciting.
Makes it a statement.
Yeah, it's exciting. I guess going with the exclamation point means that we should be excited. But it literally looks just like Lamar Alexander in 1996. I mean, if you put the two together, they're the same. Okay. Lamar, he had the exclamation point, and Jeb did. So, and also this is recycled from 20 years ago. So I guess we should be excited.
Well, it's kind of like everything in fashion, you know, it comes full circle sooner or later. I mean, what can you do with a tie? You can make it a point, or you can saw it off square at the bottom.
I guess. I'm not feeling it with Jeb, you know. I just think that if you, and he's not going to back off of this. If you like your amnesty and you like your Common Core, then. And you like a moderate Democrat, then Jeb's your guy.
Yeah, that doesn't float in conservative circles, though.
I just think, you know, and then you know, I've heard the Democrat pundits say, well, you've got to win the general election, and he's got the best chance to win the general election. And that's the, you know, and see, this is the thing they keep telling us with Mitt Romney or John McCain. They told us this with Bob Dole. Ann Coulter says basically go after, you know, the white people. and just forget the minorities, which I don't necessarily agree with either. We've got the Bob Ney, former congressman from Ohio, that now works for Talk Radio News out of Washington. Bob, how are you?
I am good. How are you, Edward?
Are you excited about Jeb?
Let me tell you what. My entire world has just brightened up. if I was a Hillary supporter.
Especially that exclamation point, man.
It's just somebody asked me, a good buddy of mine who can't stand Hillary, and he said, what about the Jeb announcement? And I went, and he said, what are you talking about? I said, listen, emails, Sidney Blumenthal, all this mess, Bernie Sanders is getting close to her. If it's Jeb Bush, she probably can win. That's my opinion.
I don't think, you know, the thing is, I just don't think that Jeb, you know, and the, again, I just mentioned this, the, you know, the Democrat pundits keep talking about that he has the best chance. But that's what they, you know, that's, see, that's the problem, is that you have the Republican establishment, the Karl Roves, if you will, that continue to tell us this. Well, in a general election, he's got the best chance. I mean, that's what they said about Mitt Romney, and that's what they said about John McCain. Of course, they did go up against the juggernaut that was Barack Obama. But that being said, I just think that it's insanity, because you keep doing
right.
The same thing.
And what they have to start doing too is put aside, quote, who can beat Hillary. Just stop it for a second.
Yeah.
And they have to choose who can run the country. Which is a big difference. If Jeb Bush were elected, I mean, what do you think he's going to do about balancing the budget? Nah, nada, you know, nothing. I mean, so you've got to, I think, support somebody who you consider can and will be elected, and then you look at their policies. I mean, he after 4 years, Republicans will be screaming when if he's in the White House.
Well, the thing is, he's a big government, big spending guy. I mean, that's what the Bushes are. So, if that's what you want, you know, then have at it. But I don't think that's what people really want. And I think that frankly, the Bush name is going to be more than he thinks to overcome.
I think so too. And you know, everybody talks about this Dennis Hastert scandal, you know, which is horrible, but I can remember being in a private closed room when people were standing up and under their breath were calling him a lapdog for the president, because the president, the White House, Karl Rove, was spending incredibly, and nobody was standing up, you know, because it was, quote, our president, standing up to him. And then you got it on steroids with Barack Obama, don't get me wrong, but, you know, nobody would stand up to him. So does anybody really think it's going to be any different with his brother in there and John Boehner? You know, he won't stand up to him when the spending comes. I mean, people miss the boat on that, on the big picture spending deficits, you know.
Yeah, and that's a very good point, and nobody's talking about that. And people haven't been talking about that for the longest time. And
right.
Nobody's talking about the fact that we're spending so much money and that we have record deficits. And it used to be that people would talk about, like, hey, listen, we're spending so much money, we need to cut spending. And nobody talks about that. Nobody on the on the Republican side talks about it. Of course, Democrats don't, because it's been accepted that it's okay. And you know, that started, again, like you just mentioned, with George W. Because George W. spent like crazy.
Oh,
I mean,
like drunken sailors. Now they would get conservative. Andy Card, his chief of staff, and Karl Rove would scream about a highway bill. How dare you do a highway trust fund bill? They get real conservative on that. But beyond that, believe me, you know, everything was for homeland security. You know, they wanted to buy more government land. That's for homeland security. I mean, the spending was like a drunken sailor. And Hastert was speaker. He wouldn't stand up at all. And if you've got Boehner and Bush, he's not going to stand up to Bush either.
Yeah, and also this fake populist, you know, rhetoric that kills me with both Hillary. I don't even see any real difference between either of them.
Well, here's my worry if I'm handicapping this election. This is what I think it boils down to. Bush versus Hillary, what ends up happening is this, the bill factor, you know? And I swear, I think Hillary will win because it's like they don't like her, they don't like Jeb, but Bill will be back in the White House. That'll be entertainment.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think you're right about it. Happy sure. days are here again. All right. Thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it,
Thank
Bob.
You.
Take care. We'll be right back.
We have to stop the endless flow of secret, unaccountable money that is distorting our elections.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
All right now, baby, it's all right now. All right now, baby, it's all right now.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh, yeah. I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. This month, iSupport is on special, the ultimate delivery system for the critical nutrients, especially hard to obtain carotenoids, essential to the health of the lens, the retina, and the macula. One iSupport, three times a week, delivers a total of 36,000 micrograms of zeaxanthin and lutein, the level needed to support healthy eyes according to the AMD study. I believe nothing supports eye health like iSupport. See the difference for yourself. Buy two bottles, get the third one free. What a deal. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447.
Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall every Saturday at 9 a.m. here on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. Can't get no relief.
Well, Hillary countered the criticism that her personal wealth undermines a populist campaign message. And she has now taken to focusing on the economic problems of everyday Americans, saying that her family's fortune is secondary to most voters. Now, wasn't this the issue that Mitt Romney was painted as Richie Rich so that he couldn't identify with the regular guy, right?
That's right.
You remember that? He was painted as rich, out of touch. And I heard Hillary talking about how CEOs make so much money. People from Goldman Sachs make so much money, and this and that. She's been touting that message. And as soon as I heard that, I thought, well, they don't make as much as you do.
What was the quote a few weeks back? She was going to reshuffle the deck.
Here's another quote she said. I don't think Americans are against success, she told reporters in Concord, New Hampshire. Those of us who do have opportunities ought to be doing more to help other people do the same. Well, again, you've vilified actually success. Your central theme of your campaign is income inequality. You're the poster child for income inequality, Hillary. Last month, Bill and Hillary reported they earned more than $30 million in speaking fees and book royalties since January of 2014. Like a little over a year and a half, they made $30 million. She said, what voters are interested in is who's going to fight for them. Because that's what you hear all the time.
Yeah, and that's not to mention the slush fund of the foundation.
That's it, right. And that's what you hear all the time is, if you want a fighter, you've heard the campaign say, well, if you want a fighter, it's Hillary.
Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion.
Politico held this event, right? A staffer, Hillary staffer, her name is, let me just get the, Jennifer Palmieri, a reporter by the name of Annie Carney, who works for Politico. Now, this is Politico. This is a question and answer session that was in New York. Asked Hillary's communications director. Now, listen to this response.
This one where she tap dance.
Yeah, it's literally just, it's painful.
Annie Carney came to Politico from Daily News, had great coverage of the Clinton campaign, and she has a question.
Hi. There was this article from 2007 that was kind of circulated today, and let me just read you one line from it. It said, introducing biographical information about Clinton's childhood and early childhood, advisors hope will flesh out the familiar character of Clinton as an overly ambitious careerist who leaves scandal in her wake.
Ooh.
And then there's a quote from Howard Wolfson, who was the campaign manager, saying, there are people who say they know everything about Hillary Clinton, and then you ask where she was born, and they have no idea. And the article talks about how she's going to talk about her mother and her Midwestern roots in kind of reintroducing herself to the country. And this story read a lot like the stories we all wrote last night after you guys previewed some of your speech. And so I'm wondering, if you guys are feeling you have to do it again, did it not stick last time? And if it didn't stick, why is it going to work this time?
So I can't talk. And I wasn't part of, you know, 08 was a very different race in terms of there was, like, extraordinary interest on the Democratic side. And I think it's hard to just to compare the two situations, but it's, you know, she's talked about this at times, obviously she's written about it and in her books, but it's true that a lot of people just don't know it about, you know. And I talked to reporters yesterday about this, and they said, well, she does, you know, you think people don't know it? No, we don't think people know it. And we do think that she'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll do more of that. She has been doing it too, and it is, I think it illuminates, if you think that you need this kind of fighter in the White House, it illuminates why.
It's
true that people haven't, that it hasn't taken, and I think this is a different campaign in terms of, you know, what the press might focus on with her, and, you know, we'll stay at it.
What is this woman saying?
Annie?
Why does she have a job?
That's right.
Oh.
She's the communications director, this woman. She's not a very good communicator. Is she? I mean,
not at all.
she's not a very good communicator.
What we have here is a failure to communicate.
This theme of that she's going to be a fighter and a champion. It's the same old, you know? It's so fake. And I think that people are sick and tired of this. Or maybe I'm just giving people too much credit, I don't know. So they asked, we've got this clip of Bill Clinton asking about this is about the foundation, right? Okay, listen to this.
I know you've said, I've heard you say, that there's no evidence that any of the donors who have given to the foundation received anything in response from the State Department while Secretary Clinton was there.
Nobody even suggested it or talked about it or thought about it till the political season began, and somebody said, well, what about this? Now, some of the companies that have supported the foundation for years, many of them before she was ever Secretary of State. She was a senator when I left office, right. So they do this, that they do philanthropy too. No one has ever asked me for anything or any of that.
Sure, of course not. No.
There's no deals going on.
No. And then play that again, the secret money clip real quick.
We have to stop the endless flow of secret, unaccountable money that is distorting our elections, corrupting our political process, and drowning out the voices of our people. We need justices on the Supreme Court who will protect every citizen's right to vote.
Woo!
Rather than every corporation's right to buy elections.
Woo! I'm getting chills.
If necessary, I will support a constitutional amendment to undo the Supreme Court's decision in Citizens United.
Woo!
I want to make it easier for every citizen to vote. That's why I've proposed universal automatic registration and expanded early voting.
She is bought and paid for by corporations and Goldman Sachs. She is the darling of Wall Street and Goldman Sachs and all these corporations that she talks about. It's just lip service is all it is. And you want to talk about secret money. I mean, how much money has the Clinton Foundation taken in? Secret money.
What amazes me about that foundation is that only 6-7% of the donations actually get to the people who need it.
But you know, you see that all the time. You look at we talked about this with the Red Cross in Haiti. They built 6 homes after what, taking in what, like $30 billion or some crazy number like that. Look at Haiti. Look, and that's the Red Cross. You figure you could trust the Red Cross. That's the problem with these foundations. All they do is they set up a foundation. They're like, oh, we'll set up a foundation, and then, you know, we'll take in money, and nobody will be the wiser. Okay? Talk about secret money. My goodness gracious. Look, if you have a business and you want to get results, advertise on the radio. Advertise on the Edward Woodson Show. You like my show? I need advertisers to stay on the air. That's how this thing works. So give me a call at 305-528-3552. Advertise on the Edward Woodson Show. Radio gets better results than any other form of advertising, and it's probably the most economical way to get your message out to the masses. You could reach like-minded people like yourself, so call me at 305-528-3552. We'll be right back.
We came out of the White House not only dead broke, but in debt.
Don't Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Hi, this is Jim Sharp. Tune into my show, America Continues, right here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, weeknights at 9.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Robin Walensky. Is Donald Trump really running for president? A news conference at Trump Tower in New York City upcoming at 11 a.m. Eastern. In other news, at a Hillary Clinton event, a big stir as a print reporter denied access to covering her campaign.
Several members of the media coming down on the Hillary Clinton campaign after a reporter from the Daily Mail is barred from covering her run for the White House after he files stories about small crowds turning out for a campaign rally. David Martusko says the Clinton campaign is setting a dangerous precedent.
The Clinton campaign does not get to choose who covers them.
Martusko speaking on the Kelly File on Fox News. Greg Moore, The Blaze News.
Jeb Bush running for president and trying to separate himself from his father and brother. Reaction to his campaign launch now from The Blaze Radio's Tom Peace.
That was a pretty good speech.
Ron Fournier, senior political columnist of the National Journal, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush announcing his candidacy during a rally in Miami. Bush says the U.S. is in pretty bad shape and that America deserves better. He argues that it's time to get Washington out of the business of causing problems, Fournier offering one criticism of Bush's speech.
Any great speech, any great campaign is a story, and a story has a narrative, and a narrative has a hero. In the good ones, the hero is the voter. I think with Jeb Bush, the hero in his story was him and his party. It wasn't as much about what he would do for us.
Fournier, part of the All-Star panel on Fox News Special Report. Tom Peace, The Blaze News.
Some business news now. The Gap consolidating due to slow sales. Here's the Blaze Radio's Brad James with the update.
The clothing retailer The Gap reporting it will close 140 of its stores this year and an additional 35 in coming years. About 250 jobs will also be cut at the company's headquarters. The Gap will also close some stores in Europe. No word on just how many people will lose their jobs overall. They blame it on their own mistakes, like keeping up with current fashions and quality issues.
This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Arizona News Radio, another very hot day in store for the desert regions of the state after near record highs on Monday.
We hit 110 for the first time this calendar year, actually since the first time since August 30th of last year, we hit 110.
Jessica Nolte with the National Weather Service is the average date to hit the 110 mark, and Phoenix is June 10th. Many mountain communities likely to see highs in the 90s today. Excessive heat watch taking effect in the desert regions this morning. A Phoenix man facing charges for allegedly shooting his dog after it attacked his four-year-old daughter.
I shot my own dog four times because he attacked my daughter.
Chris Ford saying he felt it was his responsibility to kill his one-year-old dog after the attack. Ford facing felony gun charges because of a previous criminal history. His daughter was seriously injured. Glendale City Council meeting an executive session today to discuss the future of the Arizona Coyotes in their city. Geico weather, that triple-digit heat continuing. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of Unbound, we still have some delays. Eastbound I-10, 67th Avenue through 43rd, not too shabby thus far. Look for a wreck in Glendale, 83rd Avenue at Glendale Avenue. And in Tempe, we have a wreck southbound Mill Avenue, this one at Broadway. Mothers around the world have the power to lift their families out of poverty. They just need a little help. Make a difference in the life of a family today at unbound.org. That's unbound.org.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center, for Tuesday we'll have sunny hot conditions with a high of 110. We have an excessive heat watch in effect from Tuesday morning through next Monday. Tuesday night should be clear with a low of 82. Wednesday should be sunny and hot with a high of 111. I'm Rod Tanner from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, we're at 87 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, more from the Edward Woodson Show on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It. At $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome back to the show. Well, as we discussed yesterday, Rachel Dolezal, she resigned her post as the president of the Spokane, Washington NAACP, and she's going to appear on the Today Show to talk about it. I thought it was interesting that in her resignation letter, she never apologized. She talked about how the focus was becoming about her identity and not about her. So the question is transracial, like, is this real? Her parents were on MSNBC with Thomas Roberts. I want to just play this for you real quick.
Children about being colorblind as they were raised was probably something that you went through as a family to make sure everybody felt that they were equals. And we've been asking our viewers today in the Bing Pulse question of the day, is it okay to be transracial? And similar to how some people might identify as transgender, how do you feel about people describing themselves as transracial? Do you think that that's even a thing?
I don't see any honest way that a person can describe themselves as transracial, because your ethnicity comes from your genetic code and what's handed down to you by your parents, your real biological parents. And I think the healthy path to take on this kind of discussion is to find a way to embrace and celebrate who you are or who you really are.
Are you worried for your daughter now that she has lost this post, Larry?
No, I don't know what her options are or what her future pursuits will be. And I don't know if this post was a volunteer post or a paid post. We're not informed or involved, so I don't know what kind of an impact this has on her.
Are you worried about her mental health, Ruthann, and the exposure that this has brought her might be harmful to her going forward?
Oh, yeah.
I am concerned for Rachel, particularly because of her dishonesty and then the unwillingness so far to address that and choose a new course. And I think that will be absolutely necessary for her to move forward.
She crazy. Again, you know, if you describe yourself as transracial, is that any different from transgender? And this kind of turns the whole thing on its ear, right?
That's what we've been discussing for the last week.
Like we've talked about, right? And we talked about, and you can't make this up. This completely, you know, dovetails with the Bruce Jenner dealio. There was a psychologist, Jeffrey Gardier,
right?
On this CNN. Is what CNN. All right, I want to play this for you. This is what he had to say about this.
I don't think she truly believes that she's black. I think what has happened is she's over-identified with being African-American, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. She can come out and say, you know what? I feel that I am a black woman. But when you tell the lie that your race is actually something that it's not. And you don't have to go there. You didn't have to do that. She would still have the respect of everyone mm-hmm. that she's worked with mm-hmm. in the great work that she's done over the years. When you go over that line, now you have to build a reality around that lie. And she just really didn't have to go there.
Now, I don't understand this. What's the difference? If, you know, and the Washington Post had a piece entitled The Surprising Ways Caitlyn Jenner and Rachel Dolezal are Now Linked. And it asks the question, why is Caitlyn Jenner treated as groundbreaking cultural hero and Rachel Dolezal condemned as a charlatan? If it's okay to be transgender, then what's wrong with being trans Rachel? And it's all about how you feel, right?
And where will it end?
Exactly! But the Washington Post comes down on the fact that it's okay for Bruce Jenner to be a woman, but not for Rachel Dolezal to be transracial. And they say, it's important to note that Jenner and Dolezal are indeed very different. Dolezal is accused of misrepresenting important parts of her past and is under investigation by local authorities and may have committed fraud. Jenner did and did not. So Jenner, when he had all those kids and he was married, was not committing fraud because he said he knew he was a woman the whole time, right? Did he not commit fraud?
Faking it.
Wasn't he faking it? I don't understand what the difference is.
Makes your hair hurt.
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. That, you know, isn't it a lie? Or if it's not a lie, is it a mental illness? Huh? Because as I said, just, you know, kidding last week with Ellen Ratner, I said, you know, well, hey, I'm black. And then you had that other guy on, and I thought that immediately. And you had that other guy on that said that on Rush. And then Ellen said to me, well, you
said it in just a week or two ago, and now it's serious business.
Now this is serious business. I was just kidding around. But no, it's serious. So where does it end? That's the question here, you know. And I was accused yesterday. I got an email saying that I spent too much time on it from a listener. But you know, you can never please everybody, because then another listener sent me an email saying that they loved the show, and it was hilarious. But anyway, I just think that this just it turns the whole thing on its ear, because where do we stop? If you feel a certain way, do you give it legitimacy? Because that's what the left has done. That is the crux of identity politics, right? Is if you feel that way, we're going to embrace that. But now, transracial is not okay. But transgender is. And I just don't understand what the difference is, frankly. Please help me out here. What's the difference? Because I don't see any difference, okay, between the two.
Next, Peter will be coming out saying they feel trans animal.
Well, right. I feel as though I'm a French bulldog. I truly believe that. Or I feel, I'm really, actually, I'm going to make a confession to everyone out there. I am a fat man trapped in this body. I think about food constantly and eating.
I knew it.
I'm going to go in further. I'm a fat black lesbian. Because I feel it. Okay? And that makes it okay. But this is just more of a diversion from the real issues. The fact that ISIS is just going buck wild. The fact that Putin is going nuts, taking over the Ukraine. And we're talking about this. And I am guilty of it as well. But I just I can't help the absurdity. And see, and I talk about it because it's just it's absurd that we're living in it's a crazy town, man. We're living in crazy town, and that's why I point this out. I don't necessarily give it legitimacy, but it's interesting to me how the media, you know, jumps on from one thing to another to the next, you know. Bruce Jenner, Rachel Dolezal, and how is it linked?
It's akin to Nero fiddling while Rome burned.
Exactly, exactly. And so that's why, and I want you to understand that, that's why I point this out. It's not so much that I'm obsessed with the story, I'm obsessed with the obsession that we're talking about this, and that... that how the media treats this. That's the angle that I'm interested in. It's fascinating to me what people are interested in today. And it just kind of shows. And you know, and it dovetails with, you know, Hillary's gonna fight for you and Jeb with his exclamation point. And you know, if you just give people just enough, you know, then they're gonna tune into the surface. Everything is about just surface issues. All right, we'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Central Dental Care, longtime 1100 supporter, is giving a special for new patients. Get a regular cleaning, x-rays, a whole mouth exam, and new you 30-minute teeth whitening for only $95, regularly $750. Serving Arizona for 13 years, Central Dental Care provides experienced, top-rated dentistry. Call 602-903-5935 to give yourself or someone you know a brighter smile. 602-903-5935 or visit centraldentalcare.com.
That make you go,
Look, you hear about it every day from Republicans and Democrats and everyone else who wants to tell you all the reasons why they're right and everyone else is wrong. If you've had enough, you're not alone. You deserve a show that offers unbiased truth and unfiltered debate. So tune in to Raging Sanity Radio with Will Hubbard and Alan Harvey, Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
He's still so mad. Now, back to your host, Edward Woodson.
I like them brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Name is Fight Floor from the Zulu Nation.
New York City, underwater. Gas over $9 a gallon. A carton of milk costs almost $13. Welcome to June 12th, 2015.
I think that was said back around 2008.
Or at least that was the wildly inaccurate version of 2015 predicted by ABC News exactly 7 years ago. Appearing on Good Morning America in 2008, Bob Woodruff hyped Earth 2100, a special that pushed apocalyptic predictions of the then futuristic 2015. The segment included supposedly prophetic videos such as a teenager declaring, "It's June 8th, 2015. One carton of milk is $12.99. On the actual June 8th, 2015 date, a carton of milk cost $3.39. Another clip featured this prediction for the current year. Gas reached over $9 a gallon. In reality, gas cost an average of $2.75. On June 12, 2008, Bob Woodward revealed that the program puts participants in the future and asks them to report back about what it's like to live in the future world. The first stop is the year 2015, as one expert warned that in 2015 the sea level will rise quickly. A visual shows New York City being engulfed by water. The video montage includes another identified person predicting that flames cover hundreds of miles. The then Good Morning America co-anchor, Chris Cuomo, appeared frightened by this future world. He wondered, "I think we're familiar with some of these issues, but oh boy, 2015, that's 7 years from now. Could it really be that bad?" Ultimately, ABC delayed the air date for Earth 2100, and the one-hour show didn't debut until June 2, 2009. The program showcased the terrible impact of global warming from 2015 through 2100. In the special, a storm of the century wiped out Miami. Other highlights included a destroyed New York City and an abandoned Las Vegas. By 2084, Earth's population will apparently be just 2.7 billion. On June 13th, 2008, ABCNews.com promoted the special by hyperventilating, "Are we living in the last century of our civilization?" Unlike the 2015 predictions, that suggestion hasn't yet been proven wrong. So listen to this. It's apocalyptic.
In 2015, we've still failed to address the climate problem.
We're going to see more floods, more droughts, more wildfires.
Flames cover hundreds of square miles.
We expect more intense hurricanes.
Well, how warm is it going to get? How much will sea level rise? We don't really know where the end is.
Temperatures have hit dangerous levels.
Agricultural production is dropping because temperatures are rising.
There's about 1 billion people who are malnourished. That number just continually grows.
It's June 8th, 2015. One carton of milk is $12.99.
Gas has reached over $9 a gallon.
I'm scared right now, but I have to get this out.
Yee! Oh, my God. Well, see, here's the thing. You can scare people, and then you can create an industry from fear. Now comes the real data. From the most advanced climate monitoring system, shows the U.S. has undergone a cooling trend the last decade, despite recent claims by government scientists that are paid by the government that warming has accelerated worldwide. The U.S. Climate Reference Network, which was developed by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, to provide high-quality data. The network consists of 140 stations across the U.S. in areas NOAA expects no development for the next 50 to 100 years. So basically now we have a cooling trend going on. There's 10-year cooling trend. Huh. How do you explain that?
Well, if you'll recall, a couple decades back, they were warning us about the Earth freezing.
Right. It's on the cover of Time magazine. That we're entering an ice age. But if you dare question it, you're a heretic. You're crazy. How dare you? Because it's settled.
Settled. Well, they're talking seriously about, you know, fines and penalties and, you know, putting climate deniers away.
And it's all about money. Like, for instance, when they were trying to push the, you know, carbon tax, remember that? You're going to have to pay a tax for your carbon emissions. And that's nothing but a slush fund. Your carbon, where's that money going? Well, we're going to put it into a fund to offset your carbon footprint. Now think about that for a minute. Wait, what? You're going to offset my carbon footprint. Who's controlling this fund?
That's like saying Social Security is going to offset my old age.
No, but it's worse than that because it's like you basically, who's going to run this fund? Oh, our friends at the Clinton Foundation. It's like, I mean, it's the ultimate in crony capitalism. It's like the ethanol dealio. Remember that?
I still see it on the pumps, 10% or, you know, or more is ethanol.
Well, it can't be more than 10% because they found that if it's 15 and they wanted to increase to 15, that it basically destroys your engine. And it burns not so clean.
And it's expensive.
And this was only done because of Iowa being the first, one of the first states. And what do they have in Iowa? Corn. But, you know, don't you want clean air, Steve? Don't you want clean air?
Like puppies.
Right. Clean air, clean water. We need to invest in the infrastructure. We need to build roads and bridges. Well, who's not against that? Who's against that? I mean, come on. But see, again, you speak in platitudes all the time, and you get away with this stuff. You can get away with anything if you speak in platitudes. All right, we are out of time for the day, but check out my website, edwardwoodson.com, edwardwoodson.com. Follow me on Twitter, at Ed Woodson Show, and also send me your friend requests to Facebook and like the show. Okay? And also, if you want to listen to the show again or a portion of it or any of the podcasts, go to Woodson Archive. .com. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day to give you your fair share of the truth because you're entitled to it. Good day, America. I'm out.
Climate change is not happening.
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show.
Atchison Construction has been in business for 15 years. You don't stay in business that long by accident. They're licensed, bonded, and insured with an A+ BBB rating. Commercial and residential construction from the ground up, property improvements, painting, roofing, room additions, and remodels. And they offer energy-saving products, too. If you want quality work at a fair price, visit AtchisonConstructionInc.com. Not trying to be the biggest, just the best. Call 602-478-9870. 602-478-9870.
SkyTech Security and Automation, can I help you?
Yes. Your website, FreeAlarmEquipment.com, says I can update my home and business burglar alarm system equipment for free. And it's the brand new cellular technology with smartphone and tablet access. Is this true?
Yes, it is. FreeAlarmEquipment.com is giving away home and business alarm systems valued at $1,295 for free.
Okay, that sounds great, but what's the catch?
As long as you use our 5-diamond monitoring of burglar, fire, and medical assistance services for only $49.99 per month, the equipment, activation, and installation is absolutely free.
Wow, only $49.99 a month for all that? My neighbor doesn't have a system. Can he get one?
Absolutely. We'll give him free equipment, and all he has to do is pay the monthly monitoring. So upgrade your home alarm equipment today. Go to FreeAlarmEquipment.com or call 602-621-2146. That's 602-621-2146. FreeAlarmEquipment.com.
From the realms of astronomy, space, aviation, weather, this is the Dr. Sky Report.
I'm Dr. Sky with the Dr. Sky Minute from the realm of astronomy, a most distant observable object. As we now move in toward the fall season, 2007, get set for one of the most amazing objects that can be still seen with the naked eye. What is it? The Great Andromeda Galaxy, a galaxy some 2.5 million light years away from your eye.